Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, worship team, for that time of worship that we've had this morning. It is a blessed time to be together again. It's always good to be together, but it's very special for us to worship when we can partake of the Lord's Supper of the bread and the cup together. Communion is a time when we remember what Jesus did for us, when we think of how he suffered for us, when we experience his presence, I think, in a special way. Jesus is always with us, but when we partake of the elements, I think, as we meditate and think especially on how he suffered for us, that time of worship can be very special, and I trust that it will be this morning. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 26, verse 17 through verse 30. That's Matthew 26, 17 through 30. And I invite your attention to listen or follow along. This is Matthew's account of the Lord's Supper. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You've probably heard this passage or ones like it in Mark, Luke, and John often before, and most of you probably have participated in times of communion before. Now, I'll get into this just slightly. I'm not sure what the reason is. We Mennonites tend to call this time communion. Others tend to call it the Lord's Supper. I'm fine either way. More than that, what is it that we're actually doing when we take communion? What is it that's actually happening? It's very easy to come forward and eat the bread and then drink of the cup. But what else, what really happens when we commune together? It can become a time after we do it for a while where we, not that we don't know what the answer is supposed to be, but it's easy for things to become routine, and we don't want that. So I'd like us just to think a little bit more about what this supper is all about and what its meaning is and some things that we can perhaps experience as we take this together. One of the things that we're doing when we are taking communion And maybe this is true of us as Mennonites, that we don't think about so often, is that we are celebrating. Communion is actually a celebration time. Now, I think most of all, we think of this as a serious time, and it is. It's very serious when we think about the broken body of Christ. But it should also be a time of celebration. The Lord's Supper, after all, had its roots in the Passover. And the Passover was the first day of that week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what was the Passover all about? Well, you may know that the Passover was that feast that they had to remember the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And when they did that, they were celebrating what God had done for them. There was joy. They remembered what happened. So communion is a time when we should have joy, even celebrate the deliverance that Jesus gave us from sin because of what he did for us. So the disciples were actually observing the Passover when they did that first Last Supper. And it's in Exodus 12:14, about the Passover, it says, "This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate as a festival to the Lord." Maybe saying that they were to celebrate was another way of saying they were to observe it. That may be so. But we need to remember, and we don't always think about that strong connection between the deliverance from Egypt and our deliverance from sin. And how much more important is it that we have been delivered from the bondage that we are in? This is true bondage, and this is true sin is true bondage, and this is true deliverance. So communion, yes, it should be a serious time, but I'd also like us to encourage us to approach this with a time of joy. There should be joy in our hearts, even celebration, thanking God, praising God for what he has done for us. Communion is a receiving of the body of Christ for ourselves. And so we take the bread, and Jesus says, "This is my body." And some of us know that when Jesus said, "This is my body," the Catholics take that literally. And someone this morning earlier said that that Christians look at communion in different ways. We don't take it literally. We take it as a time of remembering what Jesus has done for us. We say Jesus was crucified once for all, and now he is alive. We don't crucify him again. It might be a little bit of a play. The differences that we have sometimes are a play on words, I don't know. But it is important. It is important that we remember that Jesus is alive today and he's with us, and we praise God for that. So when we partake of the bread, we think, we remember, not that we were there, we weren't there, but we relive as we can in our hearts what Jesus did and what it is because of what I have done and what you have done. He suffered. He hung on the cross. Nails were driven through his hands and his feet, and he hung there until he died. And we're saying, "This was done for me. We need it. I know I need it. I still need to be forgiven from sin." The body of Christ is for you and it's for me. It's also a receiving for ourselves of the blood of Christ. And so, in verse 28, Jesus says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you," or poured out for many. The blood of the covenant. And again, as we go back to the Passover, it was the blood of lambs for us. Us figuratively back then, but the blood of lambs, that wasn't permanent, and that had to keep on being redone and redone and redone and redone and redone every year. But Jesus' blood was spilled once for all. So Jesus said, "This is the blood of the covenant poured out for many." And so Jesus is the Lamb of God. And Jesus didn't stop there. He said, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew." So we're going to have this time again, sometime when we're all together with the whole body of Christ. What a day that will be. Wow. So Revelation 19:9 says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." So Jesus did this and told us to do this because he loves us and he wants us to remember what he did for us. Just a couple more things I'd like to mention yet before we get into communion. We're also examining ourselves. And we have emphasized this over the years, and I think we need to continue to do so. I don't know how you have practiced this in the past. I think different groups have practiced examination different ways. When I was a boy, if we would have communion one Sunday, the week before, for us, I think it was Saturday night, if I remember, everybody went to church and there was a serious time of self-examination. Well, then as I got a little bit older, I remember everybody walking to the front and shaking hands with the minister. I guess that was a way of saying, yes, things are all right. And when Lois and I have talked about it, Lois remembers the time when everybody had to go to the bishop and say, "Yes, I'm okay." And I'm not sure what all took place in those conversations. So anyway, we've done it different ways, and I don't know if one way is better than another, but it is biblical to examine ourselves. And this time of the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, was a time when the disciples examined themselves. At this supper, Jesus confronted them, "One of you is going to betray me," and all of them said, "Well, is it I, Lord?" So that became a very serious time. And of course, John 13 tells us that as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him, and it was night, and Judas left the room. So communion is a serious time of self-examination as well as a time of celebration. And I've heard it said already, I don't know if I've heard it recently, but I've heard people use this example of Judas being present at communion as saying, "See, it doesn't matter, anybody can take communion. If Judas took it, anybody can take communion." Well, I think that's taking it a little bit far. Maybe we went over the hill a little bit at one time, I don't know. But it's all, we always should be examining ourselves, and examining ourselves especially as we come to Jesus. Not that we back out. All of us are sinners, absolutely. But it's appropriate then to have a time then, yes, Lord, I have sinned, I need you. That's the attitude that we are to come with as we come to the Lord's Supper together. I might just say one more thing yet about self-examination. I've said mostly self-examination in the personal sense. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 28, they were also to examine themselves in terms of their relationships to one another. How they came to communion and what their attitudes toward each other was so important. And if you know the background to that scripture, it's kind of interesting. That was written to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians at the time were not regarding the others who were in the church with them when they came to communion. In fact, some were coming early, eating all the supper, and then some others would come later, and the supper would be all gone. That's not exactly what God had in mind. That's not the attitude we are to have, ignoring our brother and sister. No, we don't do that. You're my brother. You're my sister. We're all together. Oh, that's important. So I want to emphasize that a little bit yet here, and then I will bring this to a close. Communion is a time that we share communion together. So we don't just take communion as one person, as an individual. None of us take a little piece of bread and maybe a little glass of grape juice and go out to the woods and have a little time of communion just by ourselves. That's not what communion is about. Communion is something we do as a body. And 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And then verse 17 says, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body." So there's one loaf. Well, there's part of a loaf here anyway. I'm just kidding, Kevin. We break up the bread today because we're very conscious that the person breaking up the bread might have a few germs on his hand, and then I don't want to eat it. We didn't used to worry about that stuff. And part of me wishes that we could still be back in those times when we could just take one loaf and really have that symbolism of one loaf and break it together, and break that bread together. I think there have been times already that I have had one loaf and I've broken it and then served, of course, the individual pieces. But there is one loaf, and that symbolism of one loaf is important because we come to communion as we should always come together, remembering that we are one body. And when it says the bread we break is the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup is a communion of the blood of Christ, that is, of course, where we get our word communion. Or the word in Greek for communion is koinonia. And you may have heard that word koinonia already. Koinonia basically just means fellowship together, the idea of our life together. And so we come this morning emphasizing that part of it, communing together, communing as one body. It might be a little bit like when we invite somebody to eat with us. Anytime you invite somebody to your house to eat or invite them to a restaurant to eat with you, you're saying to that person, I value you as a friend. I value our life together. I want to be with you. Or you wouldn't invite him. So you eat with that person together, and you eat together. And you don't do that unless that person is special to you and he's a special friend. So I don't know President Trump, and I've never invited him over for dinner. And if I would, I doubt whether President Trump would come to my house for dinner. I seriously doubt that. So there are some people that we don't have for dinner. But many of you I have had an opportunity to eat with, and I'm talking to eat with now in a literal sense. But more important than that, we're eating together spiritually this morning. We're eating of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ together because we all need it and we're all here together as one body. I'm going to just say one other little thing here yet. I'm using some verses from 1 Corinthians as well. 1 Corinthians 5:11. There's some interesting words, words which have been rather difficult for us sometimes. Here, Paul is saying, I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he's guilty of sexual immorality or greed or idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. So I said earlier that we all come together, we're all sinners, and we still sin. We still struggle with that sometimes. If communion would be only for sinless people, none of us would be here. But there is a point here, and that is the person who continues to sin in a bold way and doesn't recognize that. I think that's the kind of person that is being talked about here. Not you and I or all of us, anyone who comes and says, I need you. I need Jesus to forgive me for my sin. So yes, there are limits. I'm not one who says, oh, everybody can take communion, it doesn't matter. But everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ and is trusting him is welcome to the communion table. And I say that this morning. And we'll have communion in a few minutes, and we do want to invite all of you who are serving Jesus Christ, who believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, to commune together. So in this time of communion, we celebrate what he did for us. We take the bread and we take the cup, remembering what he did for us. We're acknowledging our role in putting him on the cross. And we're coming to him, eating of this together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time of worship in this special way. Thank you, Jesus, that you did this for us, that you died for us, that you offered yourself on the cross. Thank you that you ate the Last Supper and that you invited us here this morning, that you're inviting us together to eat of this bread and cup this morning. Thank you that we can receive this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. May we remember what you have done for us. May we praise you. May we look forward to what you have yet for us. In Jesus' name, amen.